On this holiday weekend, airline passengers are deciding how much they want to worry about one more possible threat: missiles. On Thursday, in Kenya, somebody launched shoulder-fired missiles at an Israeli charter plane. The attack failed, but these weapons are widely available around the world. Chris Hellman is a military analyst with the Center for Defense Information, and he joins us now. Chris, I suppose we should begin by noting that this is not the first time that somebody has fired a shoulder-fired missile at a civilian plane.
No, it's not new, and it's something that, however, is probably of increasing concern to Americans as the threat of terrorism, international terrorism, grows. But as you point out, attacks like these happen occasionally, not frequently, but this is not unprecedented.
I'm remembering the president of Rwanda was killed by one of these missiles 8 years ago.
Right, and there were probable attacks against U.S. aircraft flying in and out of Saudi Arabia as recently as several months ago.
Now, who were the major suppliers of these missiles, and who were the buyers?
Well, there's not a major military in the world that doesn't have some form of man-held, shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missile. The U.S., the Chinese, all of our NATO allies, they are available in prodigious amounts, and the fact of the matter is, particularly with the end of the Cold War, there are plenty of sellers, and obviously there are going to be buyers.
And there's been a lot of focus on these American-made Stinger missiles that were sent to Afghanistan in the 1980s. Tell me about that.
Right. Well, during the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan, one of the things that the Mujahideen were very keen to get was the latest in surface-to-air technology. And the United States, in its Cold War mindset, was more than willing to supply them to anybody who was willing to bring the fight to the Soviet Union. So large numbers of these things were exported into Afghanistan and, for all intents and purposes, disappeared.
I have to tell you that I was in Afghanistan after the fall of the Taliban just a few months ago. I was west of the city of Kandahar, and I met a gentleman who pulled out a piece of paper. It was written in English. He said this. It was an American soldier or CIA agent who gave this to me, and the paper essentially said, "I certify that this guy has surrendered to me what appears to be a Stinger missile launcher, and we promised to pay him later." There was clearly an effort by the U.S. military to collect these things after the Taliban fell.
Right. One of the things that we learned from our study of Soviet operations in Afghanistan is how effectively these types of weapons could be used. And there was a very concerted effort to go out and get as many of them as we could. And a bounty was offered. It was a cash bounty, and we were more than happy to pay it.
But there's still plenty of these out there.
I'm sure that's true. The former Soviet Union produced these things in the thousands. There's literally no control over them in Russia and the former Soviet republics, and there's a huge black market for them.
Whoever fired these missiles in Kenya missed, and you point out the attack in Saudi Arabia. If there was an attack, there was some evidence of some missile launchers left in the desert in Saudi Arabia. If somebody fired them there, they apparently missed. Are these things not that easy, really, to use successfully?
Well, there are a couple of limitations. The first is their range is very limited. You're talking 3 to 5 miles, which seems a lot to you or me, but when you're talking about fast-moving aircraft, that's kind of prohibitive. Secondly, it appears that the ones that were used in Kenya are of some of the oldest models that are available. They date back as far as 30 years. And thirdly, infrared sensors, which are the ones that are used here, of all the types of sensors that are available, are the least effective. So these things can be deadly, and certainly in the right hands you don't want to run into them, but they are, as modern weapons go, probably the most limited of the surface-to-air capabilities that are available.
Well, how worried do U.S. officials seem to be to you about this threat?
Well, I think this is a threat that analysts have recognized for a long time. I think that it's low on the priority list for government officials because there are so many other threats that are more timely and certainly more deadly, things like the use of chemical and biological weapons or conventional bombing attacks, which traditionally have been much easier to do than this, even with regard to airliners. So I think this is on the list, but I think it's lower down.
Chris Hellman is a military analyst with the Center for Defense Information. Chris, thanks very much for taking the time.
My pleasure.